The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
Now the book of 2 Peter. What a practical, logical, systematic book. I suppose the books of Romans, Galatians, and 2 Peter are the easiest to outline because they're so cogent, so logical, so to the point. For instance, 2 Peter in 3 chapters has one major point illustrated in 4 ways. You know what the major point is? The necessity of spiritual growth for the child of God. In fact, the last verse in 2 Peter, 2 Peter 3:18, says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." In the first chapter of 2 Peter, he lists the ingredients of spiritual growth. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Abound in these things, lest you be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so shall an abundant entrance be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the ingredients of spiritual growth in chapter 1. The opponents of spiritual growth, or opposition to it, in chapter 2. False teachers, false motives, false attitudes, which result in false living, and send us back to the beggarly elements of the world, overwhelmed in that which we were delivered from. And the latter end is worse than the beginning. And chapter 3 gives us the motivation for spiritual growth. Christ is coming. And then the necessity of it. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So 2 Peter tells us, grow up as a Christian. If you've tasted the Lord is gracious, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, as 1 Peter 2, verse 2 had affirmed. And in Hebrews 5, he says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone come again and teach you which be the first principles of the oracles of God." We need to grow spiritually. Launch out into the deep, Luke 5, 4. Go on unto perfection, Hebrews 6, 1. Bear much fruit for the Lord, John 15, 8. And when we fail to do that, we're barren, like that barren fig tree the Lord placed a curse upon in Mark chapter 11, announcing that fruit is here, and yet when the Lord gets close to us, we're good for nothing in His service. And then we're to oppose those who oppose spiritual growth, 2 Peter 2. Many false teachers have already gone out into the world, as 1 John 4, 1 says. False prophets among the people, false teachers among you, who bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And through covetousness do they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth is evil spoken of. That's the way the second chapter of 2 Peter starts. It was an awesome responsibility to withstand teachers and antagonists of error. And then, in chapter 3, he says we must grow spiritually because Christ is coming. And this earth and the works therein should be burned up. All these things should be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness? And I just remembered a passage that you'll be willing to ask me about and accuse me of dodging if I don't handle it. The new heavens and new earth of 2 Peter 3. Because of false teachers who roam around saying they don't want to go to heaven, they want to dwell on God's glorified earth, and then they cite 2 Peter 3 as an illustration of the new heavens and new earth. We need to go back to Isaiah 65, where this first was referred to. What did it mean in Isaiah 65, new heavens and new earth? Well, it meant God's people, who were in captivity, were going to be delivered from it, and go back to a new relationship with God. It has not to do with locale and geography, but a relationship. New heavens and new earth simply means a new dwelling place, a new atmosphere, a new relationship. Everything evil purged from it. And so in 2 Peter 3, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and take heed lest we fall from our own steadfastness, and put into our lives the qualities and attributes and virtues of Christ, we really maintain a new relationship right now. It's just like Ephesians chapter 2, which says, "You have been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. You once were dead in trespasses and sins. You have been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places." Past tense, written to people on earth. And so we reign with Christ in heavenly places right now. We have a relationship of new heavens and new earth now, if you please, by being spiritual devotees of Christ, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.